He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We
what
are
up,
Jalen
dog?
And Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Donovan Mitchell had 57 points in a loss, and the Celtics beat the 76ers, and the Raptors absolutely dominated the Nets. But we start late last night with Luka facing off against the Clippers, and it was just too much for the Mavs. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both scored a lot of points and got clutch buckets down the stretch to beat the Mavericks. Jalen, what were your big takeaways from this late night contest?
The best wing duo in the league. And for those that don't know, Anthony Davis, Giannis, they're not wings. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, lockdown defensively, get you buckets off the dribble and pick and roll actions. They can go one-on-one. They do things that you can't just drop on the board, Jacoby. And so when those guys get going against the Mavs, it shows their depth. And it was terrific to see Kawhi hit a couple of key buckets. But don't sleep on Moore Sr.'s contribution, because
yep.
I've been waiting on him to provide that level of toughness and productivity up front. And he was the guy that got under KP's skin that ultimately led to him getting ejected.
Not just that, but we do have to celebrate Luka, because we know what Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are capable of. And in Luka's first playoff appearance, he scored more than anyone in the history of the NBA ever scored in their first playoff experience. And one of the things about this matchup that was so tough for him is they have PG and Kawhi, as you mentioned, two of the best wing defenders that they could put in front of him. And it really didn't matter what they put in front of him, because he just kind of figured it out. Look at that little sidestep. And even without KP in the game, he kept this team close. I was really impressed by Luka. What do you think?
I love his game so much, and his pace and his demeanor. And he kills you in all phases. Like, he's not an accurate three-point shooter just yet. He's low 30s. But every time he shoots it, it seems like it's going in, because he has a signature shot, his step back. And his court sense, once he gets inside the three-point line, every player is active. He could kick it out to the three-point line early or late. He could pass people open underneath the basket. He could throw the lob pass. And he finishes with both hands, and he's bigger and stronger than people give him credit for. And he initially, you know, had some jitters, in my opinion, and got off to a slow start. He used high turnovers in that game, in particular, to start the game. But he went to the locker room, and like Maria Taylor said, he got it out of his own bag. Okay, because Luka is that phenomenal of a player. And so to watch him get going against that defensive team, Jacoby, I agree. You might be on to something when you say these guys got a chance to win a championship in the next couple of years.
And I loved the way he passes. When he penetrates, it seems like no one can stay in front of him, even though he's not the quickest guy in the court. And he doesn't just make the simple pass to the corner or that initial help person. He'll sort of look that person off, get to the second rotation, then hit Steph Curry. Like, he's seeing things out there that you really shouldn't be seeing in your first playoff appearance. To just sort of run the game and run the offense the way he did was really, really impressive. However, they did lose. And, you know, one of the factors to their loss was, as you alluded to earlier, the ejection of Kristaps Porzingis, who got two technical fouls. Did he deserve these technical fouls? Probably, but maybe not cumulatively. Do you know what I mean? Like, the first one, he maybe not should have gotten that one for reacting, but he certainly reacted. This one, he did not step in to sort of stop the altercation. He might have sort of made it a bit bigger of a deal. Jalen, there's a lot of backlash on the internet and on social media and amongst the media that he should not have been ejected. How do you feel about it?
Not many times I actually get to be a parent in a room. I at 47, I'm in a room with 17-year-olds, especially at JRLA, and my kids, they're a lot smarter and way more disciplined than me. But let me just tell everybody something. Kristaps Porzingis, yeah, it was soft, like Dirk tweeted. Yeah, it was petty, like LeBron and Patrick Mahomes felt. But you know what he did? He broke the rule. And when you throw an air punch in an NBA playoff game, the officials are going to call a technical every time. That's just the rule. It wasn't personal. They didn't pick on him. When you interject yourself into a situation when you already have a technical foul, you have to be conscious of that. It was an NBA classic. Hold me back! And you allowed that to let you get ejected? Jacoby, you got to stay in the game, man. Let somebody else that we don't know who their name is get into that huffing and puffing with Morris Sr. and give them a chance to take game one. Trust me, he's not going to allow himself to be put in that position again and get ejected.
You know, when the Clippers got into the next huddle, everyone gave Morris Sr. a pound and were like, good work out there. That's what you're here for. And you know that's indicative when you're Kristaps Porzingis if the other team is celebrating like that because you got sort of, you know, you got involved into an altercation. We've been looking at these stars, these superstars with Luka and PG and Kawhi and KP and the way that they play. But one thing we always also want to point out is what Rick Carlisle's been doing with some of his press conferences. Let's just take a listen.
Los Angeles, California, sparked by white police beating of a young black man, leave 34 dead, 1,032 injured, nearly 4,000 arrested, and $40 million in damage.
So. Love what he is doing with that. And that was the last game of the evening, and now it's time to take it to the best game of the day, which was the first playoff action in the season in the bubble. And what a game it was between the Nuggets and the Jazz going back and forth. Donovan Mitchell had a great performance, but it was Jamal Murray absolutely taking over down the stretch, scoring, assisting. And remember, he just got into game action in the bubble. He looks so good. What do you see from Jamal that you like?
Well, if you wanted Denver Nugget news, you come to Jaylen and Jacoby the last couple of seasons as we've celebrated the growth of this roster. But it mushroomed from the Joker becoming an all-NBA performer playing alongside Jamal Murray. And he's not a volume shooter, and he's not a guy that averages 25 points a game. But if the Nuggets weren't so deep and didn't run their offense through their center as they should, he could be in a situation where he averaged 25 points a game. He could shoot the three. He's really athletic. He could turn over both shoulders. And he plays with a great pace, and he's an underrated passer. And so when he's balling like he's playing, that now ascends the Denver Nuggets and people saying, oh, they do have a dynamic duo. And then if Michael Porter plays like he was playing initially in the bubble, that to me is what puts them in position to probably upset one of the LA teams. But they have one of those squads, Jacoby, and you know I love their depth, that – you got to start creating a pecking order at some point, because sometimes when I'm watching them play, it's like everybody got the green light and that's cool. But if you shorten the rotation to me and acknowledge like Monte Morris, he going to be getting minutes every game, like where you want certain guys, and Grant should be getting minutes every game. And that to me would allow them to really take advantage of all of the great talent that they've been able to develop on their team.
Interesting. We'll see if Mike Malone does that as the playoffs move on, because it seems like the Denver Nuggets will move on. But we need to celebrate a gentleman by the name of Donovan Mitchell. He put his sneakers on and scored 57 points for a Jazz team that was missing Mike Conley out of the bubble for the birth of his son and missing Bogdanovich, who had surgery during the break. 57 points, Jalen. Why do they keep going under screens? Why do they keep doing that?
I think the theme song, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. I think that's how it went. How about a guy that's 6'1", but has a 6'11 wingspan, Jacoby? That is why you go through the air and pull the basketball down and let the defender pass by, and then you still dunk it on the way down in a playoff game. And no team is better without the guys that you mentioned that are out and not playing for the Jazz. But you know, because I've been telling you this since Donovan Mitchell got in the league, you got to put the ball in his hands the entire game. You got to have a ball in his hand.
Saw what happens.
That's his advantage.
When it happens.
Yeah, that's his advantage. Just think about this. He and Mike Conley are the same height. Okay, just think about that for a second. So they play vastly different. Okay, he's herky-jerky. He plays above the rim. He split screens. He's like really nifty. He need to have the ball all of the time. And so we learned that in the playoffs again last year. We're seeing it again in the playoffs this year. 57 points?
57 points. Jalen, ever since you're about 8 years old, you're told not to jump in the air and pass. But he jumps in the air and then surveys the situation while he's in the air. Will pump fake one pass over here and finish another pass over there. It's just so impressive what I saw from him. But I have some bad news for Jazz fans. There's no way that they're going to win the title or even this series. And let me show you why. Because their main decision maker, their leader, Quinn Snyder, look at the pants on this dude. Those are too tight. Those pants are way too tight around the ankles, not wearing any socks. Like that, you can't, if you made that decision when you got dressed, I do not trust you to make any decision after you made that decision when you got dressed. Jalen, will you be rocking the Quinn Snyder's pants next time you're on Countdown?
Oh, man. Maturity is an amazing thing when you decide certain fads and or gimmicks that you're not going to follow and you're just going to own who you are. And one of the things I decided maybe 10 or 15 years ago is there will not be a day I'm jumping up and down trying to put my pants on. No, there will not be a day. I'm laying on a bed trying to put my pants on. I am not going to be able to do it.
As much as you and I are so proud that we never did the tight pants, we do have to look in the mirror and just recognize some of the gigantic pants that we wore in the late 90s. Because I had some parachute pants back in like 1998.
Well, what had happened was...
Jalen, we need you to take us behind the curtain. Jamal Murray, after a win, was getting some food. And because it is the Orlando bubble, things like this happen.
This crazy thing out here being in the bubble. Look, I gotta see this dude right after the game. He just dropped 57.
See, Jalen, this seems fun. You know, they're having a little fun celebrating the fact that he won 57. But how can this change playoff series? How can this change interplayer interactions and dynamics when after games you have to see them immediately?
Oh no. Oh no.
What happened? What happened?
I just had a flashback. Just had a flashback.
Are you okay? You okay?
Las Vegas, Nevada. Palms. Leaving the blackjack table. Feeling amazing. The air was just bubbling with enthusiasm. And then I walk in the Nine restaurant and I order my favorite, the lobster. And then I go to the lavatory and I look to my right. There's a legend, an icon named Kobe Bean Bryant. Having dinner with his bride. And he looks at me and he looks at the waiter and he says, I want a martini with 81 olives. And all of the other adults in the room didn't know what he was talking about, including the waiter. And then he looks at me and says, he gets it. I understand how you feel, Jamal, in a playoff game. 57 points, and you have to see Donovan Mitchell. Like, his shoes were still smoking, Jacoby. Like, he was still 57 points.
I know that him and Gobert don't get along, but not a single other teammate wants to have dinner with the dude after he dropped 57 to put the whole team on the back and put in overtime in a first
Or maybe he didn't
game.
Want to be around like, him. Yeah, maybe he was on the phone with his agent.
He's like, what do you need me to score 58? Is that what I need to do? Nah, I'm good. Y'all go to dinner. I'll join y'all later. For real, you know, that's exactly what he did. The difference between Jamal Murray and you is Murray won the game, and you and the Raptors got waxed by Kobe Bean Bryant.
Bow
we
down,
have so much more to get
to. The legend,
make sure you stay
Kobe
tuned.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Playoff basketball, and you're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for Jalen's favorite segment where he decides what we discuss. It's time.
Woo!
Keep it moving.
Tang! Woo! Tang!
If you want to discuss the topics, they hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. And we start with one of the most anticipated series of the postseason.
Hit the brakes!
Tonight, it is the Blazers against the Lakers. A lot of people are saying the Blazers could be upsetting the Lakers. What do you think?
Superstar power, and I love it, Jacoby. LeBron James led the league in assists. Anthony Davis, all NBA first team. Dame Dollar, top five, dead or alive. I'm so enthusiastic about this. Nurkic had 20 and 20. Carmelo, LeBron, those dudes. I watched them play in high school, okay? Mm. They're playing against each other in the NBA game. In the playoffs in 2020, I'm very excited. CJ McCollum, balling clutch, making big buckets. This is going to be a great series. However, where the Lakers are strong in particular on the wing with LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma and that height and that athleticism and Anthony Davis that could play multiple positions up front. Dwight Howard is going to be blocking shots and JaVale McGee is going to be catching lobs. They have so much depth. I think the Lakers will win in five.
It's hard to disagree with that, but I do agree with this. It will be must-watch TV, and even if it ends in five games, it will be so much fun to watch for all those reasons that you gave. Another one that's going to be fun to watch for different reasons is the 4-5 matchup in the West, the Rockets and the Thunder. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
I love this series because I genuinely feel that Chris Paul really wants to prove to the Rockets that they shouldn't have traded him. And I really feel like he's going to get in a hold me back moment every single game in this series. I really think that's going to happen.
I feel like this is going to be a rock fight, a contrast of styles. The Rockets want to go bombs away from three. The Oklahoma City Thunder want to probe the defense and get the best shot. And sometimes that's mid-range. So you're looking then at the two best players, James Harden versus Chris Paul. They used to be teammates, Jacoby. If James Harden still wanted Chris Paul to be in Houston, he will still be in Houston. So Paul's going to be fired up to play against them. And I just feel bad for Russell Westbrook. He don't get a chance to play against his former squad. I'm hearing that he's going to miss a couple of games. I wouldn't be surprised if he missed the entire series. But either way, it's going to be a long series.
It's going to be a great one, and I just hope that my guy Steven Adams can stay on the floor because we're going to see Steven Adams trying to stay in front of James Harden, and I just hope he wins that matchup enough to stay on the floor. And now we go to the 4-5 in the other conference. It is the Heat against the Pacers. Breaks. We'll hit the brakes on this one, too. What do you think about the Pacers' chances in this one?
I can't wait to see T.J. Warren go against Jimmy Butler in playoff action. Mm-hmm. Indiana and Miami – you know, have their quasi-rivalry and have had multiple times where they face one another not in the regular season, but obviously they get created in the postseason. And then the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, my most improved player, Duncan Robinson. They're such a much better team when he's on the floor. Your guy, Tyler Hero, there's a reason why the latter two guys are your favorite players. When are you going to put Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero up on the wall? What do they got to do for you? They got to win MVP? Like,
they
got to
beat the Bucks in the second round. Jalen, I have an update on a potential new player joining one of your favorite teams in the NFL.
Hit the brakes.
Dez Bryant is going to get the workout that he's always wanted. He seems like he's been asking for a workout for 3 years now. He's going to get one with the Ravens. Do you think he ends up in the purple and black?
The wide receiver position has been one when the – organizations could try to deem you as being loud and or outspoken to try to get you out of the game faster. We saw this happen with Dez. We saw it happen with Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was just racing a cheetah, okay? And he's not in the league. So it's great for him to get this opportunity. Hopefully he's healthy and we'll see what happens.
I think he got a head start and still lost to the cheetah. Moving on, UNC football plans to play this season. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on this.
They announced that they're going to stop in-person instruction on campus on Monday, but they plan to play this fall. Do you think that's going to actually happen in real life?
So let me get this right. So students aren't allowed to be on campus to go to class, but athletes are allowed to be on campus to play football. I'm fine with it. Just pay the players. Just pay the players. Just stop the shenanigans of student athletes. Let's negotiate. And
don't talk
something.
To me. Don't talk to me about Let's you can use your likeness now. Like, no, pay the players. Yeah. Not like, oh, you can go make money somewhere else from someone else. No. That's different. That's very different than you paying me. You telling me I'm allowed to make money somewhere else is not paying me. I want you, the university, to pay me the player, because if no other students can come on campus, but I can come on campus. Seems like a little inequity there. That's all I got to say.
And like all human beings and adults and young adults, then they get to decide if they want to go to work during a pandemic or not. How about that?
Jalen, Joel Embiid and the Sixers almost beat the Celtics without Ben Simmons. And I'm going to tell you what Joel Embiid needs to do to get over the hump in game two. Much more coming up.
Can't wait to talk about this.
Jalen and Jacoby.
Can't wait to talk about this.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Tatum and Brown of the Celtics were just too much for the 76ers without Ben Simmons. What do you think about this game and this series moving forward?
Well, those are dynamic players, but you see who's playing defense in a couple of those plays? One of the most talented bigs in the league, Joel Embiid. And 40 points is what he's going to need to help keep his team in this series and to make it a long one. The problem is his injury history and his conditioning probably is not going to be up to par to not only be that anchor in the paint offensively, but be a pick and roll defender on the other end against multiple offensive players that are going to try to have him engaged in that action.
He played pretty well. He's just got to take more than 15 shots. You just have to take more than 15 shots if you're Joel Embiid with this Sixers roster.
He will.
Against such a small team as the Celtics. I expect a big game from him in game two. He will
still need Tobias, my nephew, family, and Al Horford to show up in ball too, though.
Jalen, the worst game of the day yesterday was between the defending champion Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets got waxed. They made a little bit of a game in the third quarter, but got waxed ultimately. Do you think they can win a game in this series?
You know how much I love Toronto and the Raptors. And we're talking about the defending champions last on the show. You know how they're going to get their respect, keep doing what they're doing, and sweep their first-round opponent regardless of who it is? So we'll talk about Lowry. We'll talk about Van Vliet. We'll talk about Pascal Siakam. You saw Serge score over 20. They have a squad. They had a better record this year without Kawhi Leonard in the regular season than they had with him last year. They're a really good team. Stay tuned on the Raptors. They should be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Jalen, today's the anniversary of the retirement. Someone who's very important to the two of us, Larry Joe Bird. Celebrate our guy, Legend. Larry, real quick.
Legend. Oh, my goodness. First, his height. So imagine Luka Doncic a little bit taller. Imagine the Joker's rebounding as well. And his court vision was outstanding, like Magic Johnson. And he was my head coach. He's the reason why I love Steak and Lobster these days. Dan Le Batard.
We will be back tomorrow at 2. Dan Le Batard is next. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. Jalen, we had four games yesterday, four games today, some great performances. My first question for you is this. Why do you think there's been such an uptick in scoring in Orlando in the playoffs?
Imagine going to work and being able to concentrate on your job without 20,000 people screaming at you. You can actually focus on what you're doing. Those sports are usually called gentlemen sports, like golf. There's a reason why when somebody's hitting a golf ball, they want everybody to be quiet so that person can concentrate. So imagine if Jamal Murray or Spider Mitchell start feeling good from the field. You'll say they're shooting it like they're in an empty gym because they are. It is an empty gym. And these are the best players to do it. So when Dame Dalla gets hot, these dudes do this in practice a lot more than it happens in the game. That's how you become a really good player. That's how you become an all-NBA player. That's how you become an all-time great player. That's why sometimes when you see a LeBron James or these guys make a play, the rest of the world is just jaw-dropping when Spider Mitchell splits a screen and goes down the middle and double pumps and dunks it. His teammates just got back on defense because they have seen him do that so many times. And so these guys now get to the free throw line. There's a reason why people wave stuff when you're at the free throw line to impair your vision, to make you lose your concentration. There's a reason why teams play better at home. I don't care if it's high school, college, or pro versus on the road. Imagine going to work and everybody saying, hey, Jacoby, you look handsome today. Oh, my goodness. Look at that shirt. You know, look at your arms. Look at your nails. Oh, man. Your emails are just pristine. Like, everything about you is so A++++++. You're going to feel a little better about your job. You're going to play better. And so now all of a sudden, the best teams and the best players are going to win for sure. You know how sometimes in sports, other factors could be at play, like travel days or a road game when guys just ain't going to bed at 11 o'clock. Well, you know what guys are doing right now? They're leaving the gym and they're going to their room Or maybe going to the hotel here's my bar pitch. Or the restaurant or bowl or something. So you go get the best performances of the best teams on the of the best players in a seven-game series. So expect chalk. As much as you want to pick upsets, expect chalk.
Here's what I think it is. This is based on my 0 years of NBA experience. No travel, no planes, no hotel rooms, no distractions, no girls, no nightclubs, no dinner reservations at a fancy place where you might stay a little bit longer than you normally would. It's a business trip. You know, like, I just feel like there's just no distractions except for basketball. Like, they keep talking about how these dudes are playing cornhole and going fishing. They're trying to kill time until the next game. And I feel like when you're living your regular life, you've got family, you've got kids, you've got bills, you've got agents, you've got managers, you've got business opportunities, you've got dinner reservations, and you've got the shoe company who wants to talk to you about this and that. Like, you've just got so much more going on in your life. And in Orlando, it's basketball and pretty much just basketball. It's basketball and your phone and liking Instagram models pictures. That's all they got to do all day long. We need to see the Instagram model likes have got to be way up from NBA athletes right now. They got to be way up. Somebody give me those stats. They got those on Basketball Reference.
They're on that easy money sniper plan. How about
exactly?
How about this, Jacoby? So, not only have I said this for about 10 years. It's so very true. As you ascend, whether it's fame or in finance or whatever your career is, and people acknowledge that you start to have means, what are the two things I told you that you must protect from the rest of the world that they're going to get mad at you for? How you spend your what and your
There's
what?
There's three things.
What? Correct. Three things.
You got your own statement wrong. You're like, dog, no, I taught you this lesson. What are the two things? No, it's three things. Time, energy, and money. That's what it is. Time, energy, and money.
So guess what just got reinvested back in all of these people? Their time, their energy, and their money.
Yes.
For the first time in their life, they not just flipping out the black card every two steps they take. It becomes a lifestyle, dog. You don't even realize that you're doing it. It's muscle memory. Like the things that you do with your kids, the things that you do in your life, the routines that you have. This is like summer camp for LeBron James, that's a billionaire. He walking around with slides on all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't got to make no appearances with shoe companies and do no big board meetings in person and entertain and shake hands and kiss babies with the fans. He ain't got to even do that with his own kids. Like, tell me how your life would be. I need to hear from you. The capital of the minivan mafia. I need to hear from you. How different would your job performance and life be if your family knew to just let you cook for 90 days and focus on being the best Jacoby possible?
First of all, I'm sleeping three times as much, right? I'm taking one nap every day. I'm sleeping 10 hours a day. I'm going to sleep until 9 a.m., 9:15 a.m., okay? And every single day before I go to sleep, I'm working out. Every day, I might work out twice. I might go for a jog and then play some pickup. I might go for like a long jog and then get in the weight room. Like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna spend like 3 hours prepping for the show. I'm gonna have like the real stats. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go to Basketball Reference.
Be ready for follow-up
questions.
Dig out
some numbers. Yeah, for real. Like, I'm gonna read the articles and not just the headlines. Like, my job performance would be so much better. So much better. And I'll FaceTime my kids for 40 minutes every day just so they know what I look like. But if I could just focus on my job, let me tell you just last night, Jalen, here's what's happening in my house. Last night, go to sleep after Mavs Clippers. That was probably like 11:30, I want to say, right? 11:35. My son wakes up at 12:15, like thinking it's the morning. Like, he wants to wake up and play. He got questions, wants to climb in bed. I got to drag. My wife goes, you said you'd have the early shift, thinking it's 6 in the morning. Like, it's 12:15. I was in bed 20 minutes ago. Boom. Get his little behind to sleep around 12:45. No lie. 1:20 a.m. I got a clock by my bed, so every time someone wakes up, I see this. 1:20 a.m., my daughter is screaming. I thought I dreamt it. So then around 1:21, she screams again. My wife, Rock, doesn't help at all. Go into her room at 1:20 a.m. She peed the bed. Oh, I go in there, and she goes, you know, it's She goes, Daddy, you know I don't like to pee the bed. You know I don't like to pee the bed. I'm like, it's okay, girl. You know? So then we're in the middle of moving, so I don't have all the sheets and linens where they're supposed to be. So I take her linens and sheets off. I have not slept. Take her linens and sheets off. I put those near the dryer, like the washer dryer area. I'm looking around for sheets for her. No sheets. I got no sheets. I'm trying to tell her to go back to sleep in a urine puddle with no sheets. So I find two bottom sheets for her. So I got her sleeping with a bottom sheet and then a bottom sheet on top of the bottom sheet. And I'm just like, go to sleep. She's tired, so she goes back to sleep. Then 6 o'clock in the morning. So I get to sleep between like 1:40 and 6. My son wakes up. He's ready to go. My wife listens to me again. She said, you taking an early shift today, right? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I got to deal with my son. I let him sleep in my bed in my spot. Daughters wake up immediately after that. I'll lie down with you in your room. They're like, we want to wake up, Daddy. It's wake up time. No, it's not. So I lie down on the wooden floor. My daughter gives me one of the bottom sheets for me to lie down on top of between 6:15. So now I got a sheet on a wood floor, and I got a stuffed animal as a pillow. So I'm just lying there on my back looking up the ceiling like, how is this my life? And then you're telling me, how would it be if I was just in Orlando in a hotel room with none of that going on? They wake up in the morning. Daughter spills syrup all over the couch. I got to clean the couch. They want to watch TV. I'm not going to let them watch TV real quick. God, man. I got to talk to you about the show.
And then here's something else that you didn't even mention. You're a human being. We all need moments where we can just relax. It's good for our mental and emotional and psychological health. Okay.
I don't get those.
So how also with those moments feel when you're in a bubble, when you're finally done with your workouts and you're finally done with your work and you want to just eat what you want and you want to have beverages how you want and you want to just enjoy the fact that you had a productive day. Talk to me about those moments.
Let me take you further on the couch. No problem. So once it's all said and done, I worked out twice and I called my family. Me and you had a great show. And I get back to the hotel room. But, you know, first of all, I'm gonna outfit myself because whenever I go on a vacation, first thing I do before the hotel room, I get in a cab from the airport. I tell them to stop at a grocery store, right? Because I'm not ordering root service for everything. But what I would do in the bubble, I usually drink like Tito's vodka and like Casamigos tequila and like, you know, like a bullet bourbon. I'm getting the most expensive bottles. Give me the Russian vodka that I can't pronounce that cost $160 that you can drink on ice with just a little slice of lime and it tastes like water. I'm getting the whatever the Don Julio that comes in like a box with barbed wire around it with a padlock on it. Get me that. Get me that stuff. Because when I'm by myself and it's 9 p.m. and I'm sitting down watching a playoff
Louis
game.
Louis, whatever.
I'm Louis's granddad. Louis the first. I'm getting his. Pappy Van Winkle, whatever it is, $300 a bottle. I don't care. Because I'm going to be like Aaron Rodgers, pour four fingers of that right over some ice.
Louis the first.
Louis, the original Louis. Louis from Family Guy. I'm getting all the Louis. That's what I would do right before I ended my night. I'd sleep so good. Yeah, you know that was therapeutic for you too, Jalen. Because I know you get pulled in a lot of directions yourself. You get pulled in a lot of directions yourself.
Everybody, hopefully you guys enjoyed that and you young ladies enjoyed that moment of therapy via Jalen and Jacoby. That's why we enjoy your calls. Make sure you leave us voicemails. It's really important. Yes. Boss move or soft move, cultural or regional, relationship questions, anything we can do, your peeps are here for you.
One thing I want to say, I see you get pulled in a lot of directions. A lot of that is because, you know, you've got a lot on your plate. One of the things on your plate is the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. The economy's been hard for everybody. It's been hard for schools. We got a golf tournament coming up. Now's the time to give before the school season starts. JRLADetroit.com. I'm going to the golf tournament. And every morning, every time I fly in on Saturday or Sunday, the golf tournament's on Monday, you're always shaking your head because some of the big names couldn't make it, and that's just natural. It's a lot easier to say you're going to something a month from now than it is 2 days from now. You know what I mean? And we got the pandemic happening, but I'm telling you, I will be there in Detroit.
That's love.
For the JRLA Golf Tournament.
That.
And if you're listening to this, you don't have to be there. If you're listening to this, you don't have to be there to contribute. You do not have to golf with quote unquote celebrities like myself to be there to contribute. You can go to JRLA Detroit right now because the school season's coming up and JRLA needs your contribution. But we also need your contribution on the voicemail. 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the show just like this.
Jalen and Jacoby, what's up? My name's Connor Christensen. I'm from Tennessee, but right now I'm working on the farm in Idaho. We're harvesting barley for your adult beverages. I know you like those, Jalen. Got a soft move or boss move for you. So I'm currently a college student at Utah State. Shout out Aggies, Jordan Love. My wife and I go there. That's where we met. She would go to every football game and basketball game with me before we were married. But now that we're married, she doesn't go to the games with me anymore. She just did it to lock me up. Is that a soft move or boss move for her? Thanks, and keep giving the people what they want.
Wow, boss move. First of all, getting married in college is a real commitment. Like, think of all the married think of all the married friends you had in college. Oh, wait a second. None of us had any married friends in college. Big shout to Connor Christensen and his now wife who made a boss move by doing whatever she had to do to get him to lock it in. Then once he locks it in, sorry, I ain't going to the football games anymore. You can have that time.
Not
going
to be able to
now
do
you're
it.
Married. And, you don't want her with you.
And also, no doubt, we appreciate the call. Thank you for the support. And at Detroit Southwestern, Perry Watson created a factory of not only successful young men who came through the program and also ran cross country, but putting us in college. And one of the schools that sent the letter when we were like in ninth grade came from Utah State. And one of the things we used to always joke, and we used to do the 40-day workout, it was just like a motivational thing that is not going to mean much to the rest of the world. But we'd be like, you know, somebody go to college. We'd be like, all right, big fella from Utah State. And we used to always say that. So Boshan Leonard, Howard Eisley, all of us used to always say that because we was motivated to try to get to college. So big shout to Utah State. And you know we support power couples. And, of course, it's a boss move that she doesn't now go to games with you. But I have a silver lining for you. This is why you come to Jalen and Jacoby. I have a silver lining for you.
Tell Connor.
Now when you go to the game, right now. Now when you go to the game, please send me some of that barley. I'll pay for it. I love it. You know I'm send me some of that barley. For real. Like, I'm serious about my food. I'm serious about my beverages.
What you gonna do with the barley? What are you gonna do with the barley? What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna drink it.
What are you gonna do with it?
What do you think? You know what? It's something like some moonshine or something like that.
You have no idea what barley is, dog. If I could throw a barley at you right now and hit you in the head, you would not even know what it is. Honestly. No, you don't drink barley, dude. It's not. No.
Okay.
Barley might be normal. Barley is might be cultural.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a grain that goes into beer.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, good. Yeah, I never bought that from the store with food stamps. So, but here's what I want to tell him. Now that you go to the game, you can go with one of your fellas, one of your family members, and y'all could turn it into a guy's night, and you can have all of the beverages you want before, during, and after the game. You won.
Yeah. Now you got the football game with your boys. She's not going with you. That's now, fine. You got the rest of your life together, dog.
Here's what you do. Jalen and Jacoby, I want to add something to it.
What do you want to do?
If the game starts at 7, game starts at 7.
Night game.
Right? I want you 2 hours prior, worst case, an hour and a half prior, to meet the person that you're going to the game with. It might be your brother, it might be your cousin, it might be your buddy's friend,
Steve, Gary,
co-worker, whoever.
Gary's crazy.
I want you to meet them between 5 and 5:30 at Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
Or a version of wherever you live. Okay, go there. And then go to the game. Just add to the experience. What do you think about that, Jacoby?
First of all, I think that you haven't been in college for like 25 years because you go to the tailgate. That's what big schools do. Like New York University, we don't have tailgates. We don't go to Hooters. You go to the tailgate. You walk around, you set up. You throw a football around. You know, you got a pickup truck with the gate down and a bunch of coolers, you know, and you do all that. I think that's what
big. Oh, that's big the day football. Game flow. You yeah, gave the day game flow. Football. I gave the night game flow. But here's the deal. Got to socially distance right now. Tailgate ain't necessarily the lick. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? Eating and drinking after strangers, Jacoby, ain't necessarily the move right now. I'm trying to put them in a controlled environment with air condition, where they can be socially distanced,
yeah, have a restaurant experience. That Caroni Roan all into your lungs, that filtered air from indoors. No, thank you. Can I tell you something I did? I did something I said I wasn't going to do, Jay. My rec league boys were like, let's get together to a court and let's play basketball, right? And they're a bunch of doctors. Mm. They've all been tested. Some of them had Roni Roan before and got over it, whatever. So I felt comfortable. So we get to the court. And first game, there's about 10 of us, literally 10 of us. So we play 5-on-5. But then some people see us. So then they got next. And I was like, am I really not going to play against these strangers because of the coronavirus? Am I going to let the virus win? So we had to wax them too. I played pickup basketball against strangers in New York City. And I feel good with it. Numbers are really low here. You know what I mean? They all looked like they didn't have coronavirus. You know?
I was asked a controversial question. I was asked a controversial question, Jacoby, about basketball. Controversial. By one of our bosses, Bill Wolf, and our brother Nick Tutts, who you've played pickup with. And the question was, and Jay Will too, big shout to him. Congratulations to him on his radio show. The question was, where is the Mecca of basketball? I was asked that question.
Okay.
I was at let sure. You probably want to hear my answer. Don't lead the witness.
No,
let me tell you how this played out. Let me tell you how this played out. Why you don't want to hear my answer? Wow. You East Coasters are so defensive. Like, oh my goodness. Is that where you going? Is that what
no,
is
no,
that
I
why
hear
I can't say my opinion?
I want to hear what you don't say. Go ahead.
You just said you don't. No, you know, you lying to these people. You just said you don't care what I say. That's why the show is great, because you don't care what I have to say. So in my mind, I scrambled. And I came with a really controversial answer.
Can I ask a follow-up question before you give an answer? Is it like one hoop or is it like a city? You know what I mean? Is it a city or is it like one single court?
To me, I had to designate a city, which I need. To me, it's important to designate it to a city, not mm-hmm. a state. And I decided that day, and I don't regret these words coming out of my mouth, that I felt the basketball Mecca is New York City.
Hmm. Let me say this. There's different ways to say it, but like I would say that it's the like. Let me explain one thing. I would say right now, like the hottest city in hip hop is not New York City, right? It's probably Atlanta, right? But that doesn't mean that the Mecca of hip hop is not New York City. So I would say that New York City is probably not producing the best basketball players and NBA stars the way it once did, but that doesn't mean it's not the Mecca. That's why I agree with your answer.
So here's what I want people to understand. To become the Mecca, in theory, it has nothing to do with playing in the NBA. See, that's where the game and hip-hop started to get away from the essence of where it started. See, it started on the blacktop, just like Jacoby just mentioned, how hip-hop started. Okay, so that means we ain't talking about, like, who had the best NBA career or, like, what players, you know, played the longest and made the most money in the league. To become the Mecca, you got to produce the best version of free basketball.
Mm.
Free basketball. Free basketball. Okay. So now that just changes a whole different thing. So there was a time, For those that don't know, the ABA players were considered more of what you see as the Harlem Globetrotters, but they were talented enough to play in the NBA, but they didn't want to play in the NBA because it stymied the personalities of black players. So the ABA was always separate from the NBA. And then like HBCUs, like major college came in with their money and scooped players from the HBCUs. That's what the NBA did from the ABA and forced the ABA to be defunct. So the essence of the game starts in street ball. That's the essence of basketball, free basketball. And I know, yeah, you might pay a dollar to get in or $5 to get in, but the point is you get a chance to watch Dr. J from a project where thousands and thousands of people are watching, and he's the best player in the world, and you ain't pay a dime to see him. Like, that is what helps make you become the Mecca. And then when you have street ball legends like Sweet Pea, people just Google how nice Sweet Pea was in the streets, on and off the floor. Okay? Mm-hmm. What about Pee Wee Kirkland, David Jacoby? Like, these dudes have embodied, right? Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, when Jay rapped about this, like, the best of both worlds, like you said, legend in and out the game. Okay? And so that – other cities have that, of course. I can name our Detroit, St. Cecilia has that.
Any city,
every DC, every city has that. Yeah. But New York did it the best, the loudest first. They had the announcer, they had the DJ, they had the best players in the world, and they just had the atmosphere, Jacoby. Like I told you, the first thing that amazed me when I came to New York was so many tall buildings. It's like, man, this is crazy. So imagine being just that visual. Some of y'all can just Google the visuals of Rucker Park back in the 70s and 80s when dudes came through and just like hanging on fences, and the visuals of that are so iconic. That helped make basketball become the heartbeat of an inner city, which also rap music fed off of, and that's why they're one in itself nowadays. But what are your thoughts? Please tweet us. Please call in. I want to hear what people got to say about this one.
I think basketball is universal. You know, like there's Larry Bird in a cutout cornfield with no concrete, just getting shots up, and then it gets cold, and he's got one basketball by the fire. I remember reading this about him, and one because the ball would get cold and stop bouncing, so he would switch out the basketball so he could get more shots up when it was cold outside. That's no less basketball than Kingdome and Rucker Park and thousands of people in pros. So I think it's a universal thing. But I also feel like New York City has just more hoops that are full of people. When I drive around L.A., they'll have like these like high school parking lots that have like six full court hoops next to each other with no basketball players on them. It's always kind of like, it's always amazed me. And then I'll see so many empty courts. And in New York City, you don't see a lot of empty courts. You know, you see a lot of people on those courts playing. Go, Jalen.
Please Rose. Give me a 20-second timeout, because I want to do a distinction that you just said, that I just said, that may go over a lot of people's heads. I said the essence of this conversation when you're talking about the Mecca starts on the blacktop. Therefore means this was taking place outside, outdoors. That's a vast difference, Jacoby, playing mm-hmm. outside versus playing in a gym. Please continue.
And also I think in a lot of other cities, when you get good, and you're about 12 or 13, you kind of stop playing outside like that. You can kind of get scooped up by coaches and leagues and AUs and just meeting your friends on the afternoon at 2 o'clock, or walking by a court and saying, "Ooh, I want to get this run in. I've got jeans on. Doesn't matter." Like, I just feel
you
like
you couldn't do that growing up in New York. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that growing up in New York.
Yeah, you can. They can.
All of the legends that play ball coming up in New York, they still put on and played outside.
That's what I'm saying.
For the culture.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It wasn't just like, oh, now I'm good enough. I'm too good to be outside. Because now I've got this practice at 4 o'clock inside and then this and that. Just spend the entire day outside.
But the thing is, Kobe Bryant was playing in the NBA and went to Rucker Park.
But do you know how many thousands of people right now are listening? There's thousands of people listening to this right now being like, yeah, we did the exact same thing in Cincinnati. Yeah, we did the exact same thing in Jacksonville. Yeah, we did the exact same thing in Seattle. Because it's like, you know, people play outside everywhere. You know, but I just feel like there's Jacoby. Something a little different about the architecture in New York City.
No, when I say talking about playing outside, I mean players, everybody from Dr. J to Kobe Bryant playing outside while they're NBA superstars. That's different than what's happening in Cincinnati.
Drew League's inside.
I'm talking about playing outdoors, free basketball. To anybody who has eyeballs, that's the essence of the game. Outdoors, in the backyard, at the park.
You know, like people that are not from New York, be like, did you ever play at the Rucker? I'm like, Doug, if you go to the Rucker right now, it's gonna be like 12-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's just a court. Like, if you go up there right now, it'll be like a 6-year-old, like a 12-year-old, like playing U21. You know what I mean? Like, you ever play at the cage? Like, yeah, the run is whack there. Like most of the time, you know, like the legendary cards are just open for anybody to play it. You know, you can just walk up there and do it.
How about this? It's almost as rare now for great high school prospects to be playing outside as it is to see a left-handed shortstop in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Because once you start to become a player, like you said, the system takes you from that essence. See, you start off playing in your backyard. Why? Because it's free. Start playing at the park. Why? Because it's available. And then all of a sudden, when people want to invest in you, like, oh, he got a jump shot. Hey, man, I got a court you can come play on. Hey, man, my uncle's a trainer, man. You want to do some push-ups? Yeah, we got some weights in the garage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got the key to the high school gym. Every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we play there. And then once you start doing that, I think you just hit the nail on the head, though. The system takes you away from the essence, you know? And I feel like that's the least true here.
I played at Kimmeny Park. I played at P-Walk. I played outdoors. When I was in college, I was playing outside still. While I was at Michigan.
I was playing outside on Saturday. Saturday. Against kids, you know, like the kids want next. You know what I mean? They're like, we wax them, and they're like, we want next. I'm like, dog, like y'all are 14 years old. Like, you might be good for 14-year-old, but that ain't gonna happen. We're 40. Like, we're 40. I love it though. I love it. But you know what else? You know what I don't love? My knees hurt today, and that was 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. I went on a jog yesterday. Yeah. Afterwards, knees don't feel good at all.
Yeah,
knees don't feel good.
It ain't the best things for your knees and your well. That's what ends up. That's what I mean. That the it takes you from the essence. Because it's like, hey, I know you really like this ice cream, but let me turn you on to this low-fat version. Oh, let me turn you on to this version that's like this and like this and like this. And then so you get watered down to what you like to what society makes you feel like you should be doing. And sometimes it's what's best for you. It doesn't necessarily create a level of endurance, though. Because let me tell you something. Playing outside. Talking about playing hurt? Or somebody testing a jump shot? You want to know if you got a jump shot? Play outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You think you can shoot? Play outside. Okay? Your accuracy changes. You know what I'm saying? Because the weather's going to change. Rims. The conditions going to change.
Wind.
The rim's going to change.
Also, court's not flat, dog. The court is not flat. Like if you're shooting from the left wing, the rim might be 10 feet. You shoot from the right wing, it might be 10 feet 2 inches. And you're going to have to make that adjustment. I love it so much. You know what else I like to do, Jalen? You don't do inside. You know what I like to do? I like to drink beers in between games. That's what I like to do. Oh, game's over. I'm going to walk over to the side of here. I'm going to drink 12 ounces real quick. Check up for the next game.
Full disclosure. Just let me paint a picture for you. So I started to be good at basketball in my neighborhood, really good, like 7th or 8th grade. like can make money playing basketball, playing on teams, playing outside, going place to play or whatever, whatever. How many times you think as a middle schooler, I was outside playing with people my age or older and they were drinking and smoking? How often do you think that was taking place?
95% of the time.
Exactly. And how often you think I was on the court? All day.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I kind of got good because I was kind of there all day. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't play at 10 o'clock with these guys this age and run with these guys. I'm there all day. I'm running. Mm-hmm. I'm at every run. And so that's the essence of playing outside that I hate that young people in a lot of cases miss.
I got shots up yesterday outside. And when I was walking back from the court that I got shots up, I passed another court, got more shots up.
Felt good great. Being outdoors. That wind blowing.
Felt great. Felt great. Sweating.
You should have hit me. I'd have came and got some shots up with you.
No, you wouldn't. You were working. You were working. I had a little time right before the 1:30 start.
Let me know when you're going to do it again. Let me know when you're going to do it again.
All right. I'll make sure I have the right ball for you. I'll make sure you don't have a sleeve. I'll make sure that you got your right shoes with your orthotics. You know what I mean? You're talking about getting away from the essence.
That's all I need is my orthotics and a ball.
You got away from the essence.
I got to be able to stop. They're playing on concrete hurt when you fall. I got some strawberries on these knees.
Here's how it goes. It's like, oh, okay, me and Jalen, we'll get together. We'll shoot around a little bit. And then, like, all of a sudden, some dudes show up. And they're like, what about 3-on-3? We're like, nah, we're just here to shoot around. But we're competitive. And next thing you know, you play 3-on-3. And then your knees hurt the next day. That's how it goes.
Let's do it.
You know?
Let's do it.
I'm ready. We got time for one more voicemail. If you call 985-80-Jalen.
My computer battery about to die. It say 3 minutes.
Okay, cool. All right. So let's do one more voicemail. We're out.
Well, if I plug it in, it's going to mess up. My name
is Fletch from San Francisco. Big fan, big supporter. Got another question about gentlemen's clubs. Want to get your guys' thoughts on going to an adult establishment with your significant other or going with somebody of the opposite sex or maybe even going as like sort of a group date. Yay, nay. Any experience you guys got with that would be much appreciated. Keep giving the people what they want. This might be a podcast. Too hot for TV topic. So appreciate you guys. Much love. See you later.
Got it.
All right, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Okay. All people gotta stop acting like it's only a couple of successful people. Okay. And I ain't never making an all-star game. I am not in the Hall of Fame for playing sports. But when you start talking about strip clubs, okay, let me tell you something. I'm the Don Dada. I'm the Godfather. I need to be holding the cat at all times when these conversations come up. And let me tell you something. It's disgraceful how mainstream America has tried to criminalize things that they love to do. Two of them in particular. Number one, smoke weed and go to strip clubs. There are more adult entertainment spots wherever you live than there are colleges. Okay. They exist. Why do they exist? Because people have been spending money since the beginning of time on that industry. Okay. There's nothing wrong with it. If your significant other wants to go with you, great. If you want to go with other friends, great. If you want to go for the food, great. If you want to go for the fun, great. If you want to go to just give back to the community, great. It's an amazing experience since 15 years old. Signed, connoisseur.
You got to go with your significant other. You got to go with your friends. Just make sure everyone's comfortable. You know what I mean? Because I find that there's certain men and women that just don't, they're not comfortable in that environment. And that's fine. That's their discussion. But if you find yourself dating somebody that is comfortable in that environment, then take them. I know that I've been with the same lady for 18 years. You think we never went to a strip club in those 18 years? Do you think me and my wife never gone to a strip club? Of course not. That's my lady. Appreciate the time. Of course. I appreciate the calls. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN and enjoy that NBA playoff basketball. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done.